Welcome to the podcast. We talk about all the things that are hidden in the shadows. This is Isaac. On this bonus testimonial episode, I am joined by Dal and Mike from Unknown Paranormal. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Hey. Yeah.
And I think the reason why I want to bring, I wanted to bring you, Dal, because of your story, but also bring Mike because he is a major piece of the story and he can have his own perspective. Plus, he was also bear witness to see me work in action. So. Hearing his perspective along with your story, Dallas, we're out to the fore. And your story is extremely interesting in a sense of how we went about with your family and stuff like that. And that's where these whole testimonials are important when I bring up, like I talk about people's cases, but when people hear it from, you know, the source directly, then they can hear the perspective of someone else's, how they felt before and how they felt after. I do what I do and stuff like that. But Dal, won't you tell us from the beginning how your is your son started showing, I guess, started getting affected, you would say, or how the whole situation got started in the first place?
Well, it probably started in November of last year, 2022. He started having these dreams, and he would, you know, he would be telling me, "I'm afraid to go to sleep. There's these things that are following my dreams, and they chase me and they kill me, and my guts are everywhere. I can't wake up. They stab me in my heart." And he said this every single night, every night. And to the point where I was like, why isn't he able to wake up? What's going on? And so he had chest pain as well. So I thought it was medical. And then he would get dizzy when he would stand up. So I thought it was working. And I worked in the medical field. So I'm thinking it's like blood pressure. It's like, you know, something to do with medically. So I first went into the medical system and got an MRI done because he would say he's feeling stuff in his head, his heart, got an echocardiogram done, brought all those things done. And I wasn't getting any answers. And then I called up my best friend and she's like, you know, my niece, she is a psychic. Why don't you call her up? So I called up her niece, which I've known since she's a baby, because as a teenager, she was born and I used to be in and out of their house all the time. And now she's a grown woman and she does this. And she said, she, you know, listened to me. And then I guess that night she did something, meditate, I don't know what she did, but the next day she called me. She goes, you know, Auntie Dal, I felt something. I felt like I was trapped. I was your son and I felt like I was trapped and there was some entities around. So she planted a seed and she said, you need to get a shaman. You need to get someone, a native shaman into your home. So that was the beginning of that journey. That's how it started. And then I rushed over, like we live close to the First Nations Reserve. It was like 7 PM and I'm rushing over, driving there because now it's been a few weeks or even a few months, sorry, maybe about a month now into this. And I'm driving there. It's raining. The First Nations building is closed, but I see someone in the window and I'm knocking frantically. I'm like, I need to get a hold of a shaman. They're like, well, you have to come back tomorrow. Or call this number. So then I called the next day, right in the morning when they opened. And I said, I need to get a hold of a shaman. They're like, well, we'll have to look into that and we'll have to get back to you. And so they didn't call me back. I was getting, you know, really sad. But in the evening, they did call me. And they said, we have someone for you. And so long story short in that, it was a lot of back and forth, but eventually the shaman did come and they kind of brushed him off, as they said, they'll brush him off. And because we're at the point where Ronick would not go to sleep now. Like we would keep him up all night. It was that bad because in the mornings he could not walk. Like I forgot to mention that his symptoms were like, he also could not walk in the morning. So when he would wake up, his head is, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it was so hurting and heavy that he couldn't even step onto the floor. He would have to go on his butt from the bed to the floor and then drag his butt, 11-year-old boy, to the toilet and then I would help him pick him up onto the toilet, and then he would come back down and he would scooch on his butt and go down the stairs one by one. And then when he gets to the bottom of the stairs, we had an office chair waiting for him with wheels. So he would then go from the stair onto the office chair, and that's how he, and for the full 3 to 4 months, he never had a day. Actually, one day he did, and I'll tell you how, but he never had a day where he never had a headache. It was torture all day long, headache, dizziness, all that, and then dreams all night long. He never had any relief. So when the shaman came, they brushed him off. We stayed up all night, and they came in the morning, and then they left. And that was the first day he said, "Mom, I feel like something, like I feel my headache's gone." And we were so excited. We were so happy. I'm like, months of this agony, and now finally we get relief. So we went to my in-law's house. It was his birthday. It was just me, just us family, just the kids. And so we went there. I remember coming home around maybe 9 p.m. And as we're, and our garage is detached from a house in our backyard. And as we were coming out of our garage and coming into the house, we had to pass through the lawn, our grass. And as we were passing through the grass, he says he grabbed his chest and he just fell to the floor. He's like, "Oh, like," and I just knew. In that moment, I just knew that they were back. Whatever it was back. And so then, me and my older son, we carried him in the house, and he's like, he goes, "I feel like I can't breathe. I can't breathe." It's like he was literally having a heart attack. But instead of 911, I called a shaman, because I felt like, you know, this is not, I was really convinced that this is not medical. And so the shaman came. Luckily, they lived nearby. So I picked him up from his house. He came and he did his thing. They did their thing, and he finally found relief, my son. And then he went back to sleep, and he brushed him with this red stuff and all. Anyways, they came and went. But the problem was that they said they don't understand why it keeps coming back. They even put markers in our house. They put this red stuff all around their house. So I know my son had relief for maybe 24 hours, maybe. But after that, it came back stronger, and he never had any relief. So that's how it started. And when a few weeks went by and I'm still, you know, it's happening again. I don't know what happened. I was at work. I was getting off my shift, and I was in the car in the underground parking, and I don't know why I started looking up like people locally. I don't know what triggered in my mind now. I don't know if there was something on the radio or something that I read, because it's not something I would have thought of. But then I ended up, you know, calling some local companies. And one of the companies that I called was the Unknown Paranormal. And when one of the members of that company picked up the phone, he said, "You know what, you have to talk to the lead investigator, which is Mike." And then he gave me his number. I felt like it was happening so fast. First of all, no one picks up their phone in this day and age. It's really hard to get a hold of someone. And so I was really shocked. I got on the phone right away. I hadn't even left the parking lot. And so then I talked to Mike right away. Mike picked up the phone too. And so, oh my God. And then we were on our way. And then, oh, I can keep going, Isaac. I just felt like everything was meant to be in our hat. It's just so overwhelming even talking about this, and how, when I think about and reflect on how things happen so strategically. But anyways, Mike came on the phone, and he's like, "Oh, I couldn't believe." He's like, "Let's meet today." And I was like, what? Like, I just couldn't believe this help was being offered instantly. I hadn't experienced that. Even with the shamans, I had to wait. It was like a long waiting period. They said, "We'll come on this day." Like, Mike's like, "I know it's happened to someone close to me. I know what I can empathize, and let's meet. What time do you want to meet? When and where?" Like, he was willing to travel and willing. So I felt really shocked. I was shocked that this was going to happen. So I said, Okay, well, let's do it tonight because I'm really, my son is not well and every day he's being tortured. And so that's what happened. We decided because Mike lives in, the company. So sorry, no, never mind. So we decided to be out in Surrey because my brother lives out there. So, Mike came, he was there on time and I came a bit later. I was 5 minutes late. I brought my son with me. I told my son to, just, be there. But then I don't want him to meet the team because I wasn't sure. I don't know what to expect, but when you're going through this stuff, everything's so new, especially like this kind of stuff. Like you could talk about other things, but not ghosts and entities. Like I've never even thought about these things before. And so even thinking about or meeting someone to discuss these things, like the shaman was a huge, whole new experience. So now I'm talking about paranormal investigation and it was just beyond me. And so anyways, I kept my son out of it and I met with the team and it was some of my family members, including my brother. We met with the team and, Mike was telling me his experience and how his loved one, how he dealt with it and how he knew someone from the US, this person that this person in the US had helped him, his loved one. And I said, well, in this meeting, I'm like, well, how did he do that? And Mike's like talking about how Isaac, now that I know Isaac, but this guy in the US who literally uses his hands through the phone. And it seemed, honestly, it seemed so far, like it just did not seem to be true. Like, I mean, not, I didn't want to say I didn't believe it, but it just was like, how could that be? It just didn't make sense to me. But at the same time, Mike was so genuine. Like, if you, so there was, a, I'm a very, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't think we're, no, I don't believe most people are malicious. So I see the goodness and honesty in people. And so deep down in my heart, I knew that there was truth to what Mike was saying, the way he was speaking and his wife and his team the whole paranormal team. So he explained how this works with this guy in the US, which is, Isaac, now that we've met. And so I said, okay, well, they left. And then I talked to my cousin who was there. My cousin's like, well, let's wait and see. Because I had a cousin involved who was also kind of like is learning how to heal things. So he felt like he was on the right track. And so he's like, well, I don't know. Let me do what I'm doing my way. And so then I don't know if that's going to work through the phone. It just doesn't seem like just doesn't feel right. So that was that. And then I never spoke with Mike was so amazing. He gave me his business card, like ways to contact him. Like, so, yeah. Anyways, I just think back and I wonder now, I should have gone with Mike and at that time, and that would have connected me with you, Isaac, earlier. But that's not the way the story goes. So it was that my son had to endure more stuff. I had to go through certain experiences to come to the perfect time where we all met again. But,
Before we go to the other part of the story, Mike, when you I guess heard the case from Dal, what were your first impression?
My first impression off the phone call was I was speaking to a woman that was desperate. You can feel the pain in her voice. You can hear the stress related to everything she was talking about. And I had a choice to make. Do I prolong this a day where I can gather the team? I can make sure everything is set right and organize a proper meeting. Or do I try to move forward and just get it done tonight? Like I said, the call wasn't your just ordinary call of being part of a paranormal team where someone calls in and, they're explaining to you that they're they're thinking they have paranormal claims within their home. This was part, my first impression was this was something that this was paid. This is something that she's witnessed for a long time. She's seeking help, and you could just feel it right through the phone. And I was fortunate enough to convince her that day that we had the call, we were able to sit down, find a location, and start talking about what's been happening, what she's been enduring, what's been coming through the family, and taking our steps moving forward.
Yeah, and I remember you messaging me asking if I'd be willing to help, and then I said, yeah. And then no more than, I guess, a couple hours later, say, well, the family wants to take care of it on their end with their faith. I was like, oh. And then I remember we didn't bring it up again. And then it was an itch in the back of my brain. And I think I told you this, Dal, in the sense that I don't like leaving things unfinished, especially when someone has reached out. Well, not you per se, but Mike has brought something to me that I could help with. And it's like it annoyed me. And even for the next, I think, couple of weeks, almost to a month, before you guys talked again, I remember messaging him, like, hey, how's that family doing out? And me and you were messaging, we're talking, and I was asking about it. And and he was like, oh, I haven't talked to her in a while, though. You want me to reach out? I'm like, yeah, reach out to her. I don't like leaving alone. Like, and plus, if you can explain me better to someone, because the whole aspect was, because I saw him in an interview with his team, with another live for radio show. And how Mike described me to the host, I was like, I do sound like a shaman. I do. Like, the way he was explaining it, it was like, I sound like a shaman. Well, anyway, so that's why I told Mike, like, hey, call her again. Tell her, hey, I didn't really explain my friend's ability very well. And I remember telling you that. Tell her that I'm like a shaman, but unlike any shaman you've ever heard of, one who doesn't need any kind of spells or trinkets or symbols or incense or anything. And I don't even have to be in the room. I can take care of this stuff via the phone, right? And explain that to him. Maybe we'll get back in a circle. And that's when you gave her a call, right, Mike?
That's right. So you and I just had a call in regards to Dal's situation. And I promised you that I would reach out. So the fact that the team waited so long without truly getting into it is that we were asked very respectfully to give Dal and her family a certain amount of time so that a member of the family can continue with his practice. And that was a 2-week period. So I feel that respectfully, we gave the 2 weeks plus some time and we didn't hear nothing. And it was very strange getting your phone call. You know, Mike, what's going on? You know, we need to know what's going on. This is starting to irritate me. And I made you that promise. You know what? It's getting late tonight, but I'll make sure first thing tomorrow I'll get on that phone and I'll send her the message. And I believe I sent her a text at like 6 a.m. or something. It was like on my way to work. She messaged back. And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I actually took a phone call with Dal later in that morning. And the call I received was like, this is not getting better. This, whatever it is that we need to do, she's on board. Please forgive me for taking so long, but it's clearly getting darker. It's getting heavier. There was other things, I think personally, with Dal that was starting to happen. Changes were starting to happen, very dark. And she needed something done quick. So I told her to leave it with me. I was going to get on the phone with Isaac and Megan and see if we can arrange a phone call meeting via Instagram on FaceTime. And we'll see if we can get cracking on this. So I was able to reach out during the day to Isaac and Megan and rearrange the time. I think it was that evening. That evening we made the phone call. Dal, you were sneaking around in your house. But I tell you, once Isaac was on the other end of that phone, and it took us, I think, 35 minutes to go from the top of your house to the bottom floor and have Isaac not only use his ability, but we also brought in Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan put a protection on your home. And we mm-hmm. went, I think we took that next step. That was the final, this is it. Things are coming to greatness. But I think
But Mike, I feel like you're not giving yourself, you and Isaac, enough. This was way too fast of a story. I feel like I need to fill in some details.
We're going to go in pieces from everyone's perspective. But I think, Dow, when Mike reached back out to you the second time, from the last time you spoke to him, said you would do it on your own, to the point that he reached out to you again asking how mm-hmm. you guys are doing, how much worse did it get over time?
It was, okay, so the day Mike called me, the night before, like now my family's almost falling apart. Like my husband and I, our relationship was hanging by literally a thread, if it was even there. I don't even know if that was there. But so I was at a point where, you know, our beliefs, mine and my husband's beliefs, were so separate. So I was thinking more spiritual. He was thinking more medical. So it was now, he's had enough. Like, there's no more. He didn't trust any shaman. He's like, this isn't working. Now we need to take him into emergency. So we're basically just, like I said, it was hanging by a thread. So when Mike, that night before, the night before Mike reached out to me, it was probably my worst night. I was speaking to the universe, and I just was trying to meditate and trying to speak and speak and speak and saying, show me the path, show me the way, give me courage, give me strength. Like, it was repeated. I don't think I slept very little that day. And I just really wanted to connect with the higher power. And so the next day when Mike messaged me or called me, I was like, that's strange. I haven't connected with Mike in a long time. Is this a sign? Because of my night, I had a terrible night. So then when we talked, I told him, listen, I am in a very tough situation with my family. I don't know, let's talk at 2 p.m. That's when I'm out of the house. My daughter has some whatever class, so I'll connect with you then. And so I go, I can't talk to you right now. And that's what happened. So when I was out, I called him and I was running late, and Mike was very patient. I kept just waited around, and then we scheduled when we could talk. So then maybe about half hour, 45 minutes later, maybe. And so then when we talked, I said, listen, I explained it. I go, this is no joke. This is my husband, like, we're about to fall apart. My son is terrible. It was at the point now where he was seeing these entities, like 40 of them, the same one. He says to me, Mom, they've multiplied and now they can touch me in the real world. They can inflict pain. They would touch him at the heart as he was standing. So my son now is religiously wearing VR on his eyes. Like, we're at a point where he's wearing VR headset. So like 8 hours a day. It was really bad. And then he also had an episode where he just, one day, yeah, he just became a different person. I felt like he was going to hurt himself or hurt us. His eyes, he had the strength. He just was uncontrollable, his physical body. And so anyways, that was the night when I was saying that I spoke to the universe. That was the night before that. When he went, that's when my husband's like, that's it. We need to take him in. Like, and I said, but thankfully he calmed down that day, but the next day, yeah. Anyways, I can't, there's so many details that are in the story that are so profound. These little moments, even, I'm just going to back it up a bit, is that we did end up taking my son the next day after his episode to the hospital. And I was just speaking out to my, I'm like, spirit guide, universe, if you can hear me, I'm begging, please don't let him have an episode. If he does, he is going to be, labeled schizophrenic. Now, I work in the medical system. I know exactly what schizophrenic looks like. My brother's schizophrenic. My husband's brother has schizophrenia. So I knew what that looked like. And I was like, if he has an episode, which he did every day, I said, all right. And so I remember being in the psychiatric unit with my son and my husband, me and my husband, barely, we're just sitting here like two zombies. And so my son, I remember walking out of the room and going in the hallway and just speaking to the universe and saying, I need to trust you that you're going to not, you know, keep my son safe and not put him on medications. And I don't want to. Anyway, so to my surprise, nothing happened that night. It was probably one of the only nights where he actually was normal in the hospital where there's a lot of spirit. I was shocked. And so I knew something was listening to me. Someone was listening to me. Now, when Mike reached out, I think it was that same night. Oh, no, the next day, because this wasn't over for my husband, though. He's like, okay, you know, we need to get more. We need to. So we had to go see the psychiatrist. So I knew this wasn't going to end. So I was at a really low, low. I was doing a few things around the house, which my cousin was telling me to do, like turn on this candle, do these rituals. So I was doing them for the sake of my son. And my husband wasn't having, he just said, you know what, get rid of this. Like, we are not doing this. This is not working. Get out of this. Like, you know, don't you see what's happening? So I understood where he's coming from too. He's really concerned. He's like, he kept saying he's going to end up like your brother and my brother. We can deal with it now medically. We can put him on the right meds if he needs to, so it doesn't go out of control and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, when Mike reached out to me and then we dropped off my daughter or whatever, and I was with him talking to Mike, and I said, Mike, listen, I don't know if this is possible. Like, are you sure? I've dealt with other healers, that not just the shaman, I'm also talking to this Hindu pundit, they call him. And he's telling me that it's all going to be okay, but it's been weeks now and nothing's happening. And my husband knew about this too. So nothing is looking good. I'm not looking good. My credentials are not looking good. My way of suggesting things, it's not working anymore. So I'm not looking good. And so I said to Mike, I go, no, like, this has to be the real deal. Like, tell me, I don't know this guy. Like, I need to let's FaceTime in. So Mike then FaceTimed you, Isaac. And then I remember being at Starbucks, cause I couldn't go home. So it's at Starbucks coffee shop talking to you guys. And, when I met you and, Isaac, you and Mike, I owe everything, honestly, because you stayed on the phone and I was saying, and you answered all my questions. You both were so patient with me. You didn't give up. And yet I was ready to give up, and I was the one who didn't have that faith. But a part of me did, and a part of me didn't. And so I said, and then I remember driving up, as we were talking, we just happened to drive up to my house. And I said, okay, well, I'm here at my house. And I remember, I don't know if one of you said, turn the camera to your home. And I did that. And then, you know, Isaac, you said a few things, like, are your stairs in the middle, and you sense things, and then you got my attention. You had my attention before, but I just didn't know where to take it, because I know my husband wasn't, I didn't want to lose my family, and I didn't want to try one more thing. It would be a failure. And so, you had my, both of you, I was, you know, I had my attention when we were parked outside my house, when we were talking through, you could see my house. And then I was like, okay, my husband, you said, you asked him about the house, and I said, okay, well, how do I take my phone in the house with my husband there? Like, how do I do that? Like, so he's going to know. And so then I think one of you said, okay, why don't you put some headphones in? So that was a great idea. And that's what I did. And that's where, that was the beginning of a fabulous day.
You basically snuck around the house.
I did.
In my perspective of having you walk around the house, and what I've done numerous times with numerous people when I'm clearing their place, is I have them go to any place that they normally have seen something. And before I guess I go into how I took everything or what I took to say that, Megan, my wife, very powerful psychic. When it comes to her ability, her forte is remote viewing and channeling. So I always say she can go anywhere, anytime, see anybody she wants to. And she's always my person to go to when it comes to telling me exactly where to look. So I asked her, I think it was the day when Mike said, hey, she's going to videotape this time. You think you make it at time? Yeah. And then I told her, hey, go ahead and look at her place. See what you can see. And Megan was telling me that, okay, I think there's this kind of entities here, this entity here, and stuff like that. You might want to check his room. And I told her, you think it's a portal? She said, I think there's something outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't pinpoint where, but as soon as you tell me what it looks like, I think I can figure it out. So you brought me inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the first things I take is one upstairs, one downstairs, and one was kind of hanging out somewhere outside. And now mm-hmm. I know why it was hanging outside, because it was close to the portal, ready to run after what I did to the first two. But the two minions, because, by the way, for anyone listening, this is a three-parter situation. First time a three-part thing with your situation, because not only did I take the entities the first time, then I had to close the portal the second time, and then the third time. Yes, so the first part was taking out the three entities that I assumed were the only ones there. Was a demon that always had, and every dark entity has two companions. They always come in three, I always say. And the demon was the first thing I took, and his minions were the second two. The demon I took face was, it was black, but it had white inlay designed in its face that outlined its eyes straight down to its jaw. And a kind of a keyhole shape that went around his face and layered all the way up to like the top of it, I guess a hairline, but there's no hairline there. And the horns on its head reversed inward, creating like a crescent look. But its minions is exactly, when I described them to you, is exactly how I described them. Its minions mm-hmm. were dark shadow figures with white eyes.
Yes, that's what got my attention when you described them.
Yeah. I was going to say, and that's when I cleared all that out of your place the first time, and you were saying, yeah, that, and I said, you asked if that was it. And I was like, as of so far.
Yes, I know. So when I had left to drop off my daughter, my son, I remember leaving, and my son's like, I don't see Alfred. I knew, like, it was, you know, so when I had come back home and you're like going to the house, and when you got to, I think the first one, and you described it to me, my heart, my body was like, I couldn't tell you how exactly how you described it is exactly how my son had described it. And then I was 100% all in. I was like, how the hell does this guy know exactly what my son says? Like the pale eyes, the long nails, like every single detail you had talked about, you told me at that moment. And so then so I knew he wasn't feeling well. You did all that. You took out the three. And then next thing you know, like I'm trying to do this without, you know, trying to be as discreet as possible. And next thing you know, I'm in my room and, I walk around and my son, he's playing chess on the table with my daughter. He's actually happy. He's playing chess. So I was really happy to see that. In my heart, I knew it's because you did all of your work. You did your amazing work. And then there was a moment, then my husband says, oh, I'm going to take him out to eat. I said, okay. And so that happened. And I went upstairs to my room. I was talking to you both. And then I get her, you know, I went back and forth. And again, thank you so much for being so patient with me. I left the conversation like 100, not 100, but like so many times just because I couldn't bring you with me. And so I had to go down. You both would wait and I would come back up. Like this happened, maybe like 6 to 10 times. So then I went back there. My husband sees, he goes, look at Ronik. And he's lying on the floor and he's got this expensive Lego in his hand, like this really nice car, racing car. A McLaren, I don't know what it was, but he's like literally crushing it in his hand. And he's like quiet. And I'm like, what? I thought Isaac did all his, I thought this was done. I'm like, what's going on? So I ran up to, I don't remember, I ran up to you and I'm like, My son's lying on the floor, like this, there's something, he's still not well. So then I take us with you. So I took the phone with me, and my husband was lying next to my son, and I had to do it in a way that my husband couldn't see. And then said, yep, there it is. You know, the leader, I don't know what you want to call it, but that person, you were the demon, the witch,
the entity
was standing, the yeah. entity. Sorry.
Entity was a witch. She was a dead spirit of a witch that was standing over your son. And I think she struck him down because she was upset because her demon that she had in service to her and her its minions were missing.
Yes. Yes. And when you said that and you pulled it out, you pulled her away. Within minutes, my son just got up and left to the restaurant.
But then I realized, where could she have been? I pulled the whole place and I had you walk around. Then I remote viewed, but I remote pulled the entire house. So there was nothing left in it. So I'm like, where the heck did she go? And then I remember Megan seeing something about a portal. And I asked her, where is it? She drew me a picture exactly where she saw it was. And it's yes. exactly the backyard and the space yes. between the house and the shed. Same place, according to you, that a part of the story that I never forgot, never heard of, when your son was walking in the backyard and he had that attack. He walked over the portal and the
entity passed
themselves from that point on.
Yes.
They were pushed, retreated into the portal. When he stepped on the portal, they were like, oh, there he is. And they grabbed back on. That's where he had that attack.
Yes, exactly. Because this is another, thank you for mentioning this. Because one of the times when I disconnected, when you grabbed all the three things, and then somehow I got, they had to leave the conversation, I came back on, and then Megan had drawn on just a regular printer paper. And with just like a stick drawing of my house and you're showing me the drawing and saying, you need to go to your backyard and this is where the portal is. And then I remember walking to the backyard trying to be discreet with my phone. And when you showed me where that portal was, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly that same exact spot was where my son fell, like in that specific one area. And that was pretty. That was, all this sounds so unbelievable. I didn't even know portals existed. You heard about portals in books and movies. It was just unbelievable. But the weird thing is, when you told me to stop and you like keep the camera there, and then you started pulling the portal, I kid you not, my dog, and I remember my daughter talking to me about this. I don't know if you guys heard, but my dog was in the house and he started barking like crazy outside. And it was me. And he started barking and barking and barking. And I knew something was weird. Something's going on here. And he barked. He calmed down after you pulled it all out.
Now, I've closed many portals in my time now with this ability of mine. But yours is the first I ever closed that had a booby trap, I would say. It was strange. Is that what most portals I close, it feels like grabbing a rubber disc and then squeezing it closed and then pulling that energy in. Yours, I grabbed the edges, and the second I started to pull, I felt like the foundation of it collapsed, and it did like kind of like a Rosenstein bridge kind of look. Like funnel thing that went down deep into the earth. I was like, oh, whoa. And I remember I had to go down and grab the bottom of it and pull it back up at the same time. Cause that was weird. Like it had like a security system essentially that once I grabbed and attached it, it reacted and fell through like, hey, and I had to grab the bottom and pull it all at once. But once the portal was gone, then I told Megan, I don't know if you can do this. I remember talking to her, telling her, I was like, I don't know if you can do this 100%, but can you remote view to where her house is and put up some kind of form of protection? And Megan was like, I've never done before, but I can try. So she went, and how she describes how she does it, it's funny, but it's also amazing at the same time. She says her spirit, essentially, that's there, remote viewing in, runs around your house. In her words, like the Flash, generating energy of light and of white light protection. And it forms a dome over the house, creating a form of protection. And all she has to do is basically, you know, stir the pot, as we put it. And it basically just gets stronger. And then, of course, it'll slow down and it will weaken a little bit, and she stirs it up and then it protects. Because I told her, it's like I was telling her, Dal, she's worried. She's worried a lot. She's messaging us a lot. Because I remember Mike was saying, me and Mike were like, she's messaging us a lot. Like, you got to make sure she's all right. Stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I know. And like, I tried, yeah. And we put the shield up. Well, we did that. I pulled the whole entire place again just to make 100% sure the portal was closed. All right. It's all set. And I remember leaving you with all that good information. And then you remember you messaged us talking about like how it was doing better, but then some days he was worse.
Yeah.
But what led up to, I guess, the final call where I did first time ever with your son?
So, okay. Yeah. I was thinking about that too right now. I was at work. And it maybe a day or two or a couple of days had gone by, was doing great. And so I went to work. It was my first or second day back to work because I took off time because of him. And my husband was home. And on that day when you and Mike were on the phone, the day everything was done, I said to my husband, I said, today is a new day. And I didn't want to say anything more than that. I just, because one day he'll remember that phrase and I could then confidently tell him what happened, you know, in the future. So I just said, today's a new day. But now 2 days or a couple of days have gone by, I'm at work. My husband calls me. He's like, it's not well. You know, we need to take him to the hospital. And I'm like, what is happening now? Like, what? I go, well, tell me what's wrong. And I didn't want to believe him. I'm like, it has to be something else. And he's like, well, you know, he's showing some of those signs where his eyes, he's doing something with his eyes. And he's, you know, he's lying on the floor. He's not walking. And I was like, how can this be? This can't be. Cause I knew you had locked everything up and gotten rid of everything. So something I never mentioned earlier in this podcast, in our conversation, is that my son, has a sixth sense. So that is something that I don't know if he's born with. I don't know when he inherited this, but he's just, I guess, you know, a unique child where he has a sixth sense. So now I'm at work, I get the call. So I'm rushing home, before my husband takes him anywhere. So I'm rushing home and I'm calling. I'm at the hospital where I work. I'm leaving messages. I'm like, something's wrong with my son. He's not normal. Can you help me out? And, you know, Mike, again, both of you, Mike and Isaac, I can't thank you enough for, you know, replying and being patient and getting it done, like responding, which is so needed for a mother to hear when their child is sick. Like you came right away. Anyway, so gave me, okay. You said, okay, when are you going to go home? I'm like, I'm going home. So I went home and then I turned on my camera. Luckily, my husband was downstairs and my son sitting on the sofa, and I got his permission. Isaac, you said, I need you to get his permission. Ask him if I can go into his mind first. And I said, okay. So I got my son to say yes, and I had the camera on, and then you then did your amazing work by pulling out whatever it was, and you described it to me. It was something like it had rocky skin. It was a different entity, nothing as strong as compared to what you took out. It was a very low level. And then you...
I asked Megan, because you messaged me, I was not doing good. I told her, what can be there? She said, I don't know. I'm going to the house. There's not. I don't see anything. I don't feel anything there. It has to be in his mind. And
yeah.
For our listeners, I don't know why this would be your first episode, but in the Shadow Walker series, I always talk about the mind forest. And by the time you're listening to this episode, you've already probably listened to Shadow Walker Part 5. If not so, go back and listen to it, because I explained in detail what I'm going to do, what I've already told you to now in this part. And it makes sense now when I talk about it. But something that I didn't think I could do, but I did for myself. In my own mind forest that I created, and this is why I see a forest and everybody's mind forest, essentially, is everybody's mind forest is different from the foliage, from the grass, from the time of day, from the color of the moon, from the density, from the clearing of it. Everybody's different. And what's in everybody's mind force is different as well. Whatever subconsciously or consciously regret, things that you're ashamed of, whatever, is buried in there. And it takes form of something that seems familiar to you, but not to me. I only tell you what I see. I can't tell you what it means. And for someone so young to have anything in his mind force or have a mind force altogether was surprising to me. But when I went into his, it reminded me of woods, but I guess somewhere out the woods and jungles of India is the best way I can describe, from at least movies I've seen of the country. I've never been myself. But there was a stony kind of hollow rock looking demonic entity thing that I pulled from there. And when I pulled, and I've done this for other people, as I said in Shadow Walker Part 5, I clear their mind forest and their main spirit guide comes forward. The main spirit guide is supposed to be like the leader of your spirit guides. Always comes forward after I clear everything dark out of it. And what came forward was a woman named Mistaka, if I remember her name correctly. I'm assuming she's a Punjabi or Indian woman, came forward wearing a purplish dress with flower design on the bottom of it, wearing some kind of sash over her shoulder, long gray hair, and she was thanking me for taking that out. And I remember I thought to myself, let me do for him what I've done for myself. And what I did for myself is I burned, using my ability that I've talked about in Shadow Walker Part 5, that now my tendrils that leave my hand can electrify. And when they electrify, I can, you know, electrify entities and stuff like that. But what I did for myself is I burned a rune of protection in my own mind force to create an extra layer of security, you would say. And I thought to myself, can I do the same for him? So I send my tendrils and we start designing the, start basically burning the rune of protection. But I said, I have to make it absolute. So using my left hand, all in his mind force, mind you, I'm doing this. I pull lightning from the sky and channel it through myself to shoot through my right. And I use that energy to burn the ruin of protection, the algae ruin, which is essentially looks like a Y with a line through it, into the floor, the dirt floor of his mind force. And it basically burned. And then I remember I pushed the energy in and then it glowed blue and then it stayed put. When that was done, to ensure that his mind is protected. And the only reason I did it for him versus some other people that I've declared their minds for is because he needed it. He needed it because of his psychic abilities that are yet to manifest to its full extent. And his psychic ability, from my own perspective, what I got off from him, from peering around in his mind force, same as anyone else would be psychic, but his extra gift, and this is why I think your son was chosen to be attacked, to be oppressed, in a sense, it's because he had an ability that the darkness and whoever the dark entities wanted. And I guess I believe, it's something that time will tell, but he has a strong ability of manifestation. Whatever he wants or wills into existence happen. And because he has that strong ability, the darkness would love of using that to create more dark entities. That's why I believe anytime he had negative emotions that he would feel from people, he manifested into an entity. That's why they kept multiplying, because he kept manifesting the same entity. And the only one dark entity he ever saw was the ones that came through the portal. So burning that rune of protection in his mind to create the extra level of protection so nothing can get in, and also having his main spirit guide there, was the final kabob.
Yes. And after you did that, he actually connected with Mushaka. I was very happy to hear that. And he said, you know, Mom, I think I connected. He goes, I remember this name. I feel like I know this person when I was a kid, like younger. And I said, oh, okay. So when you said that and I told him, I think it brought back some memories from his past about connecting with Mushaka. But ever since now, he has connected Mushaka now. He could sense the presence of Mushaka. It's pretty profound. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Now, something you didn't notice that Mike noticed is when I electrified my tendrils while I was in Ronik's mind forest. What did you say, Mike? That you saw him like fly back?
So from my perspective, bird's eye, or through the lens of the phone, was sitting on the couch next to his mother, Dal. And while Isaac was in his mind force burning the rune of protection, I actually witnessed in the moment falling over. Now, is, you know, my belief that he's enduring the pain of the burning sensation in the mind. I witnessed him fall over onto you. And then when Isaac said he was done, I also noticed, sat back up like nothing happened. He was ready to have a conversation. But in the moment when that was being burnt into his mind, I witnessed your child fall and come back into a seated position as soon as it was done. It was amazing.
And granted, after that, and the steps, I remember I told you about how to help on his journey. And understanding that he has a strong power of manifestation. What he wants to happen will. So if he wants these dark entities to leave, they can, because he wants them to. He just has to have that gumption behind it, the words of that he wants them gone. And I think after giving that advice and you brought it up to him and stuff like that, how has he flourished since then?
That advice was so needed, because this is something he has to, you know, because when you did that day with his mind force, and you said, you know, and you told me what you just said, you told me on the phone. And you said one day he will probably get really angry or frustrated, and he's going to one day, tell him to go away or something like that. You said something to that, point. And, so when he wasn't feeling well one day, I took him outside and I said, listen, you need to figure this out now. You need to, the bigger stuff, that stuff, you know, Uncle Isaac has taken care of. Like, you need to now, these are little things. These are energies every day. You've got a sixth sense. You need to learn how to deal with it. That's because, Isaac, you gave me that direction. So I gave him that same advice. I go, you can unmanifest as well. And so he sat outside and I was angry because I couldn't be nice. It was hard for me to be tough. I was giving him tough love, and I left him outside, went in the house because I didn't want anyone to see him this way in the house. And yeah, I was praying. I'm like, I hope I did the right thing. And then he came in the house and he's like, I think I know how to do it, Mom. I go, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, I sat with myself. He goes, I think I'm halfway. I think I know, learned halfway. I go, okay, then go back out there and try to figure it out. And then I did, and I made him go back out. And he's like, okay, I think I got it. I think I know now. So, and ever since that day, I'm still grateful for the advice, on top of, like, not only did you remove everything, but then, you know, the that piece of, I don't know, I don't call it advice, or I don't know if it was more than that, but it now, my son now has the ability to, when these things come, he can now push them away. And not only push them away, I sent you and Mike both a message. My daughter was the other day, like a few days ago, my daughter was feeling really down 3-4 days in a row. And she's always very cheerful and happy, lucky. And then it must have been something low level. And then entity. And then he's like, Mom, I was talking to my daughter. I said, you need to, you know, snap out of this. And I was getting upset at her. And then my son comes up. He's like, Mom, I sense something. He sees it. And then he's like, it's really low level. It's not a big deal. I'm like, okay, well, take care of it. And he did something. And then he's like, yeah, it's gone. I was shocked that my son did it. I mean, I'm really tired, but he has that ability. You are right, Isaac. He has the ability to unmanifest and push them away. And that's what he did. And now, day to day, he went into a crowded area. He went into the monster truck show. I was messaging you and both. And so, you know, I feel like you have slowly, gradually graduating towards independence with him, because it wasn't just it, you know, it wasn't about just removing things. It was about, how do we move on with life from now in? And that was like the icing on the cake. And yeah, you slowly showed us how to walk and now run. with the abilities that he has. Because for a mother, it's very overwhelming. I don't know what was going on, how to deal with these abilities. I felt like he's cursed, but now I don't feel that way.
Now, and one thing that me and Megan, I guess, strive to do for most people is not only take away the bullies that were tormenting them, but also ensure and give them the proper mindset so it doesn't happen again. But with Case, it seemed like he was chosen versus like most dark entities attach themselves to people who are broken or show depression or anger or show something that they find tantalizing to feed off of. But when it comes to Sun, they wanted to use his ability of manifestation to create more. So that's why he was kind of chosen. And because his ability is there, because he's a psychic, because he's started to make that light inside shine brighter in the ether amongst the spiritual world, he's going to get noticed. And because he's going to get noticed more, he's going to have more dark things to deal with. But with the advice that I gave him, and then now he's practicing, by the time he comes across something big and bad again, it's not going to have a chance to get any kind of attachment.
Oh, yeah. I'm so grateful. Also, this happened at this age of 11. I mean, I can't imagine him being a teenager. He would have never listened to it. I can't imagine the drugs, the alcohol, you know, that would have accompanied all this. I can't imagine. I think about that, too, like how the timing was perfect.
And as of so far, you say he's doing well.
Oh, Isaac, I'm on this show, but I'm telling you, I can't. Every day I think of Mike and Isaac, every single day. And I feel like they can't never get rid of me because I always want to message them every day, but I'm like, no, they have a life. I can't do that because I'm so grateful. Like, well does not describe him. I don't know what vocabulary, but he's thriving. He's happy. He's smiling. He went to school yesterday after months, since October. He first day yesterday was his school. Today was the second day. He's smiling. You've given literally his life back. So if you've given his life back, you've given my life back and my family's life back. Like this is, doesn't stop with Rowan. The whole family, what is intact. And this is something that, if it wasn't for you and Mike, it was dark and dark days, and my son would have been, I still say this, my son would have been in a hospital, psychiatric unit, drugged up on suppression drugs for his hallucinations. That was the only outcome if I had not met Mike, had I not had that initial conversation with the paranormal, the unknown paranormal team. They connected me to you. It was destiny, but I mean, it still gives me shivers and goosebumps knowing what if I had not talked to Mike that day.
And
thank you, Dale. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate Mike too. Bringing me certain cases that he knows I can take care of in a matter of moments rather than hours or days or weeks or years working on something. Record time, 35 minutes, I think it took. But if you combine all couple of days, let's say an hour altogether. But Dal, if someone listening to this episode is on the fence about reaching out to us for help, what would you say to them about reaching out to us for help and stuff like that?
I would say you have absolutely nothing to lose. Like, why would you wait? I mean, I feel so stupid and I regret not making that phone call. I know it sounds unbelievable. Trust me, I was there. I know when I first met the unknown paranormal team and they told me your work, this is not something you believe. You read about this in books or in movies, but not something in real life, especially through an iPhone or phone. Are you kidding me? So if you are sitting on the fence, what do you have to lose? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Nothing. I wish I had just tried that and said that to myself. I wish someone would have pushed me. But for me, the only reason I didn't, because I had someone involved who also had somewhat, like maybe 1% of what Isaac has. And so I was, you know, said to me, you know what? No, let's just wait. So, but had it not been for my cousin, I would have called the paranormal team and said, okay, let's do this. But I didn't because of that one person. So if you're on the fence, please, I'm telling you, I'm a witness. It's my son. I am not paid to be here. I am from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I have never met these people before. And now I will never forget you two and your teams. So, this is something that is, you know, if you don't, then I would say if you do not reach out, then I will say that that is your destiny, because I didn't. And that was part of my journey, my past. But if you don't, that would be the only reason I would think you didn't. It's because it's just not meant for you to be at that time.
Dal, I do appreciate you coming on and telling your story.
It's the least I can do, okay?
Mike, I appreciate you coming on and giving your perspective of witnessing me work firsthand.
No problem. At any time, you know I got you.
Yeah. Mike, where can everybody find the Unknown Paranormal?
You can find the Unknown Paranormal on our Instagram page at The Unknown Paranormal. All of our links are posted in the Linktree tab that's on the main home screen. And then you can branch off and find every team member separately amongst that page.
Well, guys, as always, you can catch our social medias at Hidden the Shadows Podcast on Instagram, Hidden the Shadows 6 on Twitter, Hidden the Podcast 2 on TikTok. Links to all our social media and always listen to us at HiddenTheShadowsPodcast.com. Also, if you're also dealing with anything paranormal like Dal or lesser case, maybe just want some advice on what to do, you can message us at Hidden the Shadows Instagram or Shadowwalker Paranormals Instagram as well. You can reach us out both there. If you don't have Instagram, you just want to get contact, you also email us at HiddenTheShadowsPodcast.com. But as always, I do appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you, Isaac.
It was my pleasure to be here.
And as always, we'll catch your weirdos in the next one.